Hi, and welcome to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast. Today we'll be talking about pit bulls and breed-specific legislation, otherwise known as BSL or just BS in my book. Our guest today is Jason Mann. Jason is a professional dog trainer and freelance writer. He owns Top Dog Training Solutions, PitbullLovers.com, and Pitbull University. He is also the author of an e-zine by the name of Pitbull Gazette. Welcome to our show, Jason.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm great. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you became the pit bull advocate you are today.
Well, it started basically about 7 years ago when I babysit a little pit bull for a friend of mine, or dog sit, I should say. And, you know, just took to observing that little puppy, and his name was Puppy, and playing with him and everything. I just fell in love with that the breed of dog. And at the time, I really didn't, you know too much about pit bulls or American pit bull terriers. He came and Puppy, basically a dog sat in for around 3 months, and then he came and picked him up, and I set out and on a mission to, you know, kind of bring an American pit bull terrier into my life. And that's when I stumbled across Angel, my oldest dog, and on the internet, and I talked to her breeder and things like that. And this was before I knew anything about, you know, the plight of the pit bull, the rescue, or anything like the situation that the dogs are in today. So, well, anyway, I, you know, got her, brought her out, and that's really where my love of the breed started, right there, through interacting with her, and then through learning how to train her and raise her and things like that. That's when I came across the plight of the American Pit Bull Terrier, the breed-specific legislation started, flaring up quite a bit back then. And, you know, from that point on, it was I was love at first bite kind of thing, you know, where I just kept digging in and digging in and digging in. And the more I learned, the more passion grew, and the fire got me, and then it turned into a career where I became a professional dog trainer, and then, you know, I basically just immersed myself in all things dog. So, you know,
it's easy to do.
Yes, it is. The American Pit Bull Terrier just happens to be, you know, the breed that I have the fire for, if you will.
Okay, well, let's go over a few pit bull rumors. These are just some things that I've heard, and then you tell me whether they're myth or fact, because a lot of these, I don't know whether they're myth or fact. Okay, the first one is, pit bulls are just crazy. It's all the inbreeding that was done to create the American Pit Bull Terrier breed. No pit bull can be trusted because of the inbreeding. Is that myth or fact?
That would be a myth, big time. I hear the inbreeding and things like that quite a bit, but within animal husbandry, inbreeding and line breeding is actually an acceptable practice when done correctly. It really has nothing to do with, you know, inbreeding or things like that. It's basically, you know, when pit bulls, like the ones that are, you know, kind of, they have the ill temperaments and things, it's a mix of both breeding and environment. When people don't plan the breedings, you know, the backyard breeders, the teenage kids, 15, 16 years old, breeding dogs, and, you know, and they're not really caring about the temperaments, then the environment of the dog. So this is definitely a myth, though. They're not just born, you know, they're not crazy.
Okay. How about when a pit bull bites, his jaws lock and they can't let go? Is that true or false?
That would be false as well. That's a myth. There's no scientific studies that prove that. And if you look at the skeletal structure of the American Pit Bull Terrier's jaw compared to any other canine, you'll see that they're very similar. The myth comes from the strength in their jaws because of their heritage. They're bull baiters, which were designed to reach, grab up, and, you know, and bring down bulls for butchers and for sport back in old England and Ireland. So the strength of their jaws are immense, and they're also very tenacious. So when they get a hold of something, they just literally hang on to it, very much like, you know, when an alligator clamps down, they don't let go. It's not about locking their jaws. It's just they have extremely strong, powerful jaw muscles.
Okay. Pit bulls are inherently dog aggressive. Myth or fact?
This would be a myth as well. While the breed does have a predisposition to dog aggression, that does not mean that they're all going to be dog aggressive. There are many examples, especially in the modern examples of the breed, of dogs with, you know, little to no dog aggression at all. Even amongst some of the dogs that are out of the fighting lines, you know, you'll find some that don't have the dog aggression in them. So yeah, that's a myth. Okay. While they are predisposed to it, say, over say a cocker spaniel, that, you know, they'd be more likely to be dog aggressive, more so than a cocker spaniel would be. That doesn't mean all of them are going to be dog aggressive.
Right. Okay. Pit bulls are great working dogs. Myth or fact?
That'd be a fact. You know, just like I was mentioning earlier, their heritage is bull baiting dogs. Pit bulls are all around athletes. They excel at, you know, they excel at everything, from agility to lure coursing to fly ball to, you know, to rally of obedience to police work, you know, sport protection work to, from Schutzen to French Ring, you know, and just basically being an all-around goofball dog. They're great at frisbee, dog competitions where they jump into the water for the toy and they measure the distance. They're excelling at that. So that's definitely a fact. They're extremely great working dogs.
They are goofy, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're clowns.
Yep.
Okay, pit bulls that are aggressive to other animals will eventually be aggressive to humans. Myth or fact?
This is a myth. Pit bulls, or actually, it's like dog aggression and human aggression are two completely different types of aggressive behavior. Dogs are situational creatures, and what I mean by that is, you know, they can tell the difference between another dog, a cat, a wild pig or a horse, or, you know, they can tell the difference between the different animals and a human. So simply because they're aggressive towards, let's say, a horse, doesn't mean they're going to be aggressive towards a human, because they can smell us, we have different scents, different mannerisms, everything's different. So they can definitely tell the difference. And it's basically about situation, you know, it's like the dogs, they're hunting dogs, let's say, for example. You know, if this was true, then no one would be able to use their dogs for hunting, because if they run out and catch a wild hog, then that means they would turn around and try to bite the human as well. And that's simply just not the case. So the aggressive behaviors are just completely separate.
Okay.
They're two distinct aggressive aggressions, I guess you could say.
And let's also mention that aggression in a dog, period, any breed, is not abnormal.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, it's just part of them. They're an animal, so aggression is part of every animal. You know,
You could have a chihuahua that will tear somebody up, you know.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the human aggressive part of the ask, you know, this question here is more, you're going to find it in other breeds more than you would the American Pit Bull Terrier. You will find more animal aggressive American Pit Bull Terriers, but as far as humans, you know, like we were talking, they're clowns. They're big goofballs. They really love to be around people. And as a professional trainer, I've worked with German Shepherds, Old English Mastiffs, Great Danes, Doberman Pinschers, Shih Tzus, Yorkshire Terriers, you know, Toy Poodles. And all the small dogs I just mentioned have tried to bite me, whereas all the other breeds, you know, didn't. The Old English Mastiff did. But, you know, for the most part, all the American Pit Bull Terriers I've worked with, none of them have ever tried to bite me. But you'll find more fearful, aggressive dogs in the toy breeds and things like that, I think, you know, along with the mixed breeds and things. But, you know, you can find aggression in any dog, especially dogs that have had, shaky pasts and unsure encounters with people.
Right. Okay, here's another rumor. Children are prey to pit bulls. Myth or fact?
This would be a myth. This is actually a very interesting question. Children are not prey to pit bulls. However, children are small, and their scent and their behavior, they're basically not seen as little people to dogs. They're seen as a completely different person, thing. So to a dog, one of the reasons why we see so many dog bites in kids these days is because they're very erratic. They move funny. They make squeaky sounds. And this can excite some dogs, especially dogs with good prey drive. The prey drive, they like to chase things and catch things. It doesn't make children prey, but what it does is it kind of excites the dog. This is especially true for high-energy dogs. But why we're seeing so many bites is because in children, and I'm not talking about pit bull bites in children, I'm talking about completely just dogs, is because, kids are not taught to interact with their companion animals properly anymore. And, a lot of these attacks on children and bites that occur from the American Pit Bull Terriers or pit bull type dogs out there are caused by negligence. Almost every single case, a child is left alone with a dog, and then the dog, maybe the child poked the dog in the eye or whatever, or maybe the dog just wanted to play and bit the child. But point being is, the negligence of not supervising the children with the dog is what's causing a lot of these bites. But they can be seen as prey if they try to run from a dog or something like that. But I want to clarify the question. When I say prey, I mean prey drive.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that pit bulls see them as a piece of running meat. they don't see them as a little deer running away from them. they excite that prey drive, so they chase them. And with a child, it doesn't take much to hurt a kid, especially a small child. So, a dog of the strength of an American Pit Bull Terrier, an American Staffordshire Terrier, Staffordshire Bull Terrier, even knocking over a child can cause them to hurt. A little love bite can actually hurt a child. So, there's a lot of precautions that people should be taken. And I'm not talking just about pit bulls either. I'm talking about all of the breeds.
Well, I think that's very important. Parents need to teach their children how to interact with dogs and, don't get in their face. Don't poke them. Don't pull their tail. Just don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what causes a lot of the problems. Kids, they love to, go in their faces and blow on them and go make little sounds like that, and dogs, just some of them get a little irate quickly. Number six, children are prey to pit bulls. That's a myth.
Okay. Pit bulls need a lot of exercise. How about that one?
That's a fact. That's definitely a fact. The more exercise they get, the better they are. There's a saying that says a tired dog is a good dog, and then we've adopted it to a tired pit bull is a great pit bull. Changed it a little bit. These dogs are high energy, and that's another reason, we're seeing so many problems with the breed is, they really don't make companion dogs for inactive people. If you're the kind of person that doesn't like to go for a walk or go out to a park or spend time outdoors a little bit, then, you should probably seek out another breed instead of the American Pit Bull Terrier, because these dogs need outdoor time. They need outside fun, and they need to be with their people, and they need walks and runs. And, I'm famous for saying that, an hour walk and then a two-hour play session every day would just cut the edge off of a pit bull's energy stream. It would calm them down just a bit. They definitely need loads of exercise. So parks, runs, trotting, a lot of good games, fetch, things like that will definitely help those people, American Pit Bull Terriers, burn off that excess energy, and they'll be less destructive, and they'll sleep better at night, and they'll be able to go into crates or kennels and things like that.
And I read a statistic that said that dogs that are chained up are 2 times more likely to bite. And I believe that because they don't get the exercise they need.
Right. And they're also very restricted. So if you can imagine being basically teased every time somebody or somebody coming or something comes near you, and it's just out of reach. You know, you hit the end of that chain, it's just out of reach. That frustration over time will build to the point of where it becomes a destructive force on that animal's psyche, and basically it turns the dog into, you know, you get too close to him, you can get bitten. And and that is a lot of the exercise routines as well. And when I say exercise, I'm talking, you know, get the dog out for a 45-minute run, trot, and then a 10 or 15-minute cool-down walk, and, you know, really get the dog breathing. You know.
Some good cardio.
If you know, a 30-minute walk one time a week is not going to cut it. It's simply that. You know, a 30-minute walk once a day, every day, still probably won't cut it. A 30-minute walk 2 times a day, every day, maybe, but you really got to get them trotting a little bit and get them using their muscles. And once that happens, then you'll start to see that they get a little bit tired. Games like fetch and, you know, I play hide and seek. You know, I have somebody go hide and my dogs will find them. we do that kind of stuff and interactive, and it works their mind as well as their body. And we use a lot of obedience training, and it really exercises their total body so they're tired when we get home.
Okay, what about pit bulls attack more people than any other breed, myth or fact?
This is a myth as well. You know, we've had, you know, people like me who stand up for the American Pit Bull Terrier. There's thousands of us out there. And, you know, we've all heard the statistics, and we've all seen, you know, the news reports, and we've all seen those famous Center for Disease Control stats that are often used in court cases and things like that. And recently the Center for Disease Control said that they are going to protest people using their stats because they're not supposed to be used in that way. So they're basically skewing things. They're skewing the reports to, you know, kind of throw it their way. At least this is my opinion too, but the Center for Disease Control has actually been on record as saying that they're not happy with their usage. So, you know, altogether though, American Pit Bull Terriers, or Pit Bulls, if you will, do not really attack more people than any other breed out there, simply because not all bites were reported, and not all dogs are registered. So just those two factors right there make this one a myth.
Right.
Because you can't account for every single bite, and you can't account for every single breed. And then a lot of the cases, the breeds are misidentified, and they're called pit bulls, but they really aren't. So the numbers are kind of not.
And that actually happens a lot, doesn't it, the breed being misidentified?
Oh, yes, yeah. In some cases, the breed is misidentified so badly that basically anything that's of medium stature with short hair is called a pit bull. And I've been through shelters, and so have other, you know, pit bull rescue people and pit bull advocates have been through shelters, and we've seen, you know, Rhodesian Ridgebacks pit bull, you know, labeled as pit bulls. We've seen, you know, Border Terriers labeled as pit bulls. I mean, anything with small with short hair.
Okay, what about pit bulls turn on their owners, myth or fact?
This is a huge myth, and I actually probably answer this question 20 times a week or 30 times a week through questions from the website at Pitbull Lovers. It's just completely a myth. The reason this myth, I guess, occurs is, you know, one day a pit bull gets tired of being picked on or pushed on, or they're mentally traumatized. You know, they actually have something medically wrong with them, and then they bite. But in almost all cases, dogs will give signs that they're going to bite people. So these signs go unnoticed and untreated, and then eventually the dog does actually bite, and then they say, oh, it suddenly turned on me. This same exact myth was one of the big Doberman pinchers, you know, myths in the 70s.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I remember.
The brain is gonna swell and they're going to turn on you. You know, that was the exact same myth, but it was just for the Doberman. And you'll see that if anyone does any kind of research on these myths, you'll see that they transcend years and breeds. They started with the German Shepherds, and then they went to the Dobermans. And then in the early 80s, they went to the Pit Bulls, American Pit Bull Terriers. And then, you know, through the 80s and mid-90s, the American Pit Bull Terrier reigned as the world's worst, you know, most dangerous dog, apparently. Now we're seeing the Rottweiler take that.
I know, and I love Rotties, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're great dogs. And, you know, and that's, so now they're taking the thing. And that's really the biggest pet peeve of mine, the biggest, I guess, gripe I have with the whole breed-specific legislation is, you know, you can't condemn a handful of dogs out of millions. You can't condemn millions of dogs because of a handful of incidents. And that's what is happening all across the world, you know. And a lot of these myths are even stated. You know, I've had animal control people tell me that, you know, bullets bounce off of them or
Other
myth is heard, you know. And they really believe that. And then I think, you know, these people are actually employable. It kind of makes me wonder.
Well, let's discuss that a little bit more, though. I've had chows, pit bulls, all kinds of dogs that have bad reputations for turning on their owners, and none of mine have ever turned on me. Dogs that are said to have turned on their owners don't just do it for no reason at all, do they?
No. As I mentioned earlier, there are signs there. There could be a medical problem. A lot of times there are medical problems. Chronic pain. And American Pit Bull Terriers don't show pain well. They can be really hurt, but their pain tolerance is so high that they don't show it. You know, I have two that live with me now, and they've been walking, you know, along, and I've watched them closely, and I realized that, you know, something on them is broken, and, you know, they've literally broke a toe or something, and they just, you know, walking off like nothing's wrong, and then you see it, and then you start to notice that they kind of limp on it, and you're, oh, well, they dislocated their ankle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
these kind of things. But they're so good at, you know, hiding the pain. I mean, a dislocated ankle would be obvious. But, you know, it's like they're so good at hiding the pain that, you know, down the road, somebody could step on their foot. Maybe they hurt their foot, and then they, you know what I mean? So it's, they react to that. Or, you know, the people neglect their dog, you know, like we were talking, put them out in the backyard on a chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after a while, yeah, it's probably going to be not too happy. You know, there's a lot of reasons dogs bite, but there's always also a precursor to that bite, or there's some signal they give or some reason behind it. You know, they don't just suddenly turn, you know, unless they have rabies, which is,
right.
You know, that's an obvious disease. You know, if you see that, you can pretty much know that the dog's sick.
And one problem we're having, though, is that usually the people that want to get pit bulls and Rottweilers and Dobermans and all those dogs that have bad reputations only want to get them because they want what they think is a mean dog, or they think it's cool to have a pit bull. And usually that person has an aggressive personality. Maybe they're not so nice themselves, and they teach that dog to be vicious. And pit bulls aren't inherently vicious, are they?
No, they're not. No real, you know, no dog is truly inherently vicious from birth. It comes from, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but it comes from the breeding and then environment. It's a lot of things rolled into one. You know, if you take two dogs that are vicious and you breed them, the odds of getting a vicious puppy are increased. Then you take that dog and you put it into an environment where there's aggressive, like you were just saying, a person has a, you know, aggressive attitude, and they kind of raise the dog rough, and they you know, encourage that behavior. Then you have a recipe for disaster. But no, they're, you know, I've always said, and I've heard before, that bad dogs are not born, they're made.
Right.
So bad pit bulls aren't born, they're made. Now, they're not trained to be bad, but what they are, what it is the person just encourages the wrong behavior. They encourage that aggressiveness. You know, it's sort of a form of training, but technically it's not training, if you will. It's just basically, you know, if the dog growls, like, yeah, that's a good boy, they encourage that behavior.
Right. But I think I read somewhere on your site, you said, you know, it's really not in the way they're raised. The litter of puppies can all be treated the same way, and you can get one aggressive dog and four gentle dogs out of that litter. And just like people have different personalities, the same goes with dogs. So it's the way that aggressive dog in that litter is trained is the position you take. Is that correct?
Yeah, in a way I do. And then in a way also, you know, I think the environment plays more of a role than the breeding. You put a puppy in a bad environment, odds are it's going to turn out bad.
Right. But can you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, so if you have an aggressive pit bull on your hands, are they trainable?
Define what you mean by aggressive pit bull.
Okay. One that has already shown aggression towards humans, has already bitten. And are they trainable from that point?
In my opinion and in my practice, I would recommend putting a dog that has already bitten a human down.
Is that right? Okay.
An American pit bull terrier, a person should not, it's just not characteristic of the breed. It's going against everything that the breed should be, both written standard and just our society standard. And there's really no place for that kind of dog in our world anymore. You know, when there wasn't as many people and we all lived on farms, that would be a little different. But now that we're all so cramped in together and there's so many potential harmful positions that the dog can be in, there's a lot of children around, people like that. Any dog that actually does a very a physical bite and attacks a person without provocation, just basically, you know, like somebody jumps in their yard, that could be territorial aggression or something like that. But ultimately, they should still not bite. The American Pit Bull Terrier's standard is they should be friendly towards people. Now, if the dog is growling at people or displaying and showing threat displays, then a behavior modification program may help that particular dog. But that is an individual thing that we would, you know, that a professional would have to
assess.
Assess and decide on for that, for that specific individual dog. But yeah, a dog that a pit bull that has actually bitten somebody already, 9 out of 10 times, I'll recommend euthanasia.
Okay. Now people are constantly looking at pit bulls to get as guard dogs. Are pit bulls good guard dogs?
They are not. The reason is exactly what I mentioned earlier. They're supposed to be friendly toward people, and that includes strangers. So there's you add that to it, you know, they're supposed to be friendly toward strangers and things. And the whole demeanor of a guard dog is a suspicious, you know, take name and number after everybody who comes into the yard or in the house. And the American Pit Bull Terrier really isn't that dog. The breed should be, very open and very friendly and willing to let people in and things like that, you know, and very kind of happy-go-lucky like a clown, as we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
On a whole, they don't make great guard dogs. And once again, there we go. There will be a few specific small individual groups within the whole breed group, you know what I mean, that may show that kind of behavior. But as a breed, no, They're not very good at being guard dogs.
Okay. Tell us about the American Temperament Test and what that is about and how the pit bull tested.
Well, the American Temperament Test, you know, it's a test that's kind of an on-the-fly thing. You don't prepare for it or anything. You just go take it. And they run your dog. They run the dog breed, whatever breed you have, through a series of, you know, tests and loud noises, how they react and, you know, how they react to threatening strangers and things like this. And at the last count that I noticed, the American Pit Bull Terrier was one of the best breeds on there with an over an 80% pass rate for all the breeds, you know, all the dogs tested.
Wow, that's good.
Sorry about that. I said breed. But for all the dogs tested out of that breed, they had a, I think it was 86 point something. I can't remember the two ends, but I want to say 77 pass rate. You know, and you compare that to like a 70% for, I believe it was the Golden Retrievers. But ultimately what happens is they do really well on the American Temperament Test because they're supposed to be happy-go-lucky and well-bred dogs, you know, and dogs are well-adjusted, will do great on that. And I highly encourage all American Pit Bull Terrier owners and American Staffordshire Terrier owners and Staffordshire Bull Terrier owners, any bully breed owner to go and have their dogs tested by the American Temperament Test Society and, you know, kind of get your dog there. And that also will help, you know, hey, look, it's been tested, that great temperament. So it also helps assess your pet as well.
Yeah, now I'm really fired up about this next issue, breed-specific legislation, BSL. Coming to a city near you, folks, it's currently in effect in the city I live in, Morrow, Georgia, and it's a bunch of baloney. I can't legally own a pit bull in the city I live in, and it's crap. It's a dog breed holocaust in my book, because what's going to end up happening is that no one will be able to own a pit bull. Then the breeders will stop breeding them because they aren't making any money, and then we have no more American Pit Bull Terrier. And I'm sorry, Jason, it just really burns me up. Explain to the listeners what BSL is.
Well, breed-specific legislation is just that. It's legislating a breed, you know, a specific breed. In most cases, they lump the American Pit Bull Terrier or any dog that resembles a pit bull type dog. That includes at least 8 to 9 breeds right off the top of my head. And most of the time, they also include Rottweilers, German Shepherds in some cases, Dobermans in certain cases, Siberian Huskies, Great Danes, Newfoundlands, Cane Corsos. I mean, there's a lot of dogs that are starting to be targeted in Italy. The corgis, you know, the little herding dogs are banned along with the border collie. So, you know, and the American Pit Bull Terrier, you know, they're all added into that. Newfoundlands, corgis, and border collies are banned in Italy now. So, you know, in Germany, American Pit Bull Terriers and Staffordshire Bull Terriers and those dogs are all banned as well. The Rottweiler obviously isn't, because it's a German breed. But, you know, Louisville, Kentucky, which is just about 2 hours outside of Lexington where I live, they have enacted an ordinance, and they're trying to slide a little breed-specific aspect to it. Miami, Florida, the pit bulls are banned in Miami. Yeah, if you watch that Miami thing on the Animal Planet, you'll see them all over, so we obviously know that one doesn't work. But, you know, Denver, Colorado, the ban on the they've confiscated and euthanized a little over 400 dogs, last I heard. And these are dogs, they just take them out of people's homes and put them to sleep. They did nothing. They're just born American Pit Bull Terrier. Or they resemble a pit bull type dog.
It's so insane. I can't believe it's happening. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, insanity is a really good word. Futile is another good word. Pompous would be a very good word, I think, as well, for these people to have such nerve to be able to tell, you know, people who, you know, pay their salaries and we taxpaying law-abiding citizens that we cannot have a certain breed of dog based on what a dog in New York City did.
It's breed profiling. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And that ultimately is my largest gripe with the whole breed-specific legislation issue is, you know, you have a 12-year-old boy killed in California, the Fabish case, and out there, and the ripple is felt all over the United States. You know, people all look, well, in California, that dog killed that kid, and without asking questions, they immediately start banning them in every, you know, city, especially nearby. And it's just like, it's like a fear that spreads through the heart of people, and it's a plague. And what's ultimately the question was, how is BSO going to negatively affect the American Pit Bull Terrier and other breeds? It doesn't matter if you own an American Pit Bull Terrier, or if you share your life with American Pit Bull Terriers, or poodles, or whatever breed you have out there, Labradors, whatever. Breed-specific legislation is going to open up the door for animal rights groups to come and say, you know, you can't have that pug. You can't have that fill in the breed. It's opened the door for legislation that will allow people to sue, a lot more lawsuits based on dogs, things like that. And what it ultimately is going to set a precedent to the government that says, you know what, we can do this. So if they, you know, what's next? So tomorrow it might be the Golden Retriever.
Yeah.
Whatever breed becomes popular at the time and starts making news stories, that breed could be a potential target for breed-specific legislation. And so ultimately it's not a pit bull owner or a bulldog owner or a Rottweiler owner problem. It's a dog owner problem. It's a dog fancier problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it will, it is starting to come to light. You know, in California, they're trying to get things passed, mandatory spay neuter for all dogs under 25 pounds, or over 25 pounds, I'm sorry. So that ultimately right there is they're trying to restrict, you know, the livelihood of the dog, you know what I mean? Like the American Pit Bull Terrier, well, they're obviously over 25 pounds. So they're basically trying to make them extinct within their area.
I know. It's so sad.
And it will just continue to spread. And it will continue to become more and more ridiculous. You know?
What do you think?
The ordinance is, you know, the dog barks three times, they put it to sleep. You know, those kind of things. It's getting that ridiculous.
And what do you think is the best way to fight BSL?
The power of the pen. Is extremely powerful in this case. Writing your government lawmakers, writing people and saying, you know, this is wrong. Writing your congressmen, writing your local people, and also drafting dog laws that target the actual problem, which is the people, will help combat the stupid BSL problem, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The stupid, you know, the ignorant laws, I should say.
Well, we have to stop this, people, and fight BSL. It's just wrong. And it's going to affect every one of us dog owners out here eventually. Because Golden Retrievers bite too. Every breed bites. So it's going to affect all of us in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be crazy. And, you know, in Ontario, the greater Ontario area, they banned American Pit Bull Terriers. There's a lot of, you know, and folks, you know, the thing I would like every listener to understand is, you know, these dogs are also, the dogs targeted in breed-specific legislation are not always just cats. There's dogs that are assistance dogs for the blind and deaf. These dogs are also targeted, and they're also taken from these people and euthanized. They take their, you know, their best friends that help them live their lives simply based on their breed. And these laws are just, they're out there. That's all I can say. They're totally insane.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the programs that you offer. Tell us about Top Dog Training Solutions and Pit Bull University.
Okay, well, Top Dog Canine Training Solutions is my my professional dog training business here in Lexington, Kentucky. You know, we do basic obedience, problem solving, advanced obedience, therapy dog evaluating and testing, and we do some canine good citizens testing and training for the American Kennel Club. As much as, you know, I'm at odds with registries, but with the AKC, I do the canine good citizens. The work that it is actually taking, it's gaining more clout with people, so especially American Pitbull Terrier owners and things like that, encourage them, any kind of dog that's on the DSL list we were just talking about to get the CGC, because there's a lot of, you know, home insurance and providers and things like that that are looking at that as a kind of giving you a little bit more leeway and benefit of the doubt as if, what if you didn't have it, you know, so that's good. And we offer classes and private lessons and things like that. Pitbull University is an information website for pitbull owners. They can go and it's about training, getting help training like leash pulling and nipping and chewing and things like that. And it's a totally free 5-day little mini course is what I call it. You can sign up on there and at pitbulluniversity.com, and you can get, you know, these tips to help you, you know, give you some ideas about leash pulling, training, and just different things like that.
Cool. And tell them how they can contact you.
You can contact me by phone, if you want to, at 859-230-7071. You can also contact me by going to pitbulllovers.com. That's www.pitbulllovers.com. And there's a contact email and everything on there. Jason at pitbulllovers.com is one of them. You can email me at Jason at topdogtrainingsolutions.com as well if you want to get in touch.
Well, check out his site, guys, because he's written some great articles on there. And, I mean, a lot of articles Jason has written here. I've read many of them.
That's www.pitbulllovers.com again. I didn't want him to get mixed up with the university part.
Okay, sorry. Well, let me share a poem with y'all. Their love is like no other. Their heart is pure as gold. Yet while going on a friendly walk, they're faced with stares of cold. They're so very close to human, and how they act and what they do. Unless you've known their devoted love, it's impossible to explain to you. They are greatly more misunderstood than any other breed. We tend to punish this loyal dog instead of mankind's deeds. They are always and forever clowns with a wish for center stage. Yet while displaying the sense of humor, most people disengage. They oh so want to make new friends and run and jump and play. Yet when they happily approach, most people shy away. Often I've seen children poke or hop on for a ride. And when I felt they might get mad, they've only beamed with pride. I've seen these children yank and pull with nary a reaction. Yet media's not interested unless they put someone in traction. When other dogs have made the news, this breed's name they affix. But when this brave dog saves the day, they call him Boxer Mix. They love to snuggle up real close to give lots of loves and kisses, yet they suffer more than any from unfair prejudices. Their tails wag hard and hips twist too, more so than other mutts. So those of us who know the breed, we call them Wiggle Butts. What animal do I speak of whose love is so unique? If you've truly known one, you know of whom I speak. There is no creature on this earth who will ever make you merrier. The animal I do speak of is the American Pitbull Terrier. Author unknown. Well, Jason, thank you so much for taking time out to be a guest on our show. I know you're a busy man. And take care of those two girls, Angel and Honey.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on your show, Celine, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast. Great and small, we love them all.